Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have done an incredible job over the years of making the customer number one. They want you to have the right insurance at the best price that fits your budget. That way you know you're covered and it fits with you every month. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. I don't care whether it's personal, home, business, commercial, whatever it may be. Purdy Insurance, they have it all. Great agents that if something happens to you, they act as if it happened to them. That's the kind of partner you want in insurance. And we're also brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Leon in a few moments. Last night, the Yankees retired the great number two.
You know, I was asked recently by someone, they said, if you could trade places with one person, who would it be? And I say this very humbly. There isn't a person or player I would trade places with that's playing now or ever. And the reason why I say that is because I got a chance to play for a first-class organization and in front of the greatest fans in the history of sports. And you know, you play here in New York for 20 years. You know, I learned that time flies, memories fade, but family is forever. And I'll be eternally grateful to be a part of the Yankee family. So I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you very much.
What a great, great career he had. He would have been great in any era. That is Derek Jeter last night at Yankee Stadium. All right. Talk a little bit about the Eagles and the Phillies. We'll bring in Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Matt, welcome. And we'll start with quarterback. It's because Peter King in MMQB on SI.com wrote an article today about the Buffalo Bills. And their point was that they felt they had a very deep quarterback situation there. Tyrod Taylor, Cardale Jones, and so forth. And they drafted Nathan Peterman. And when you look at the Eagles and their quarterback situation, can you say about the same in terms of pure depth?
I think it's good. I really do. I think Nick Foles is an upgrade over Chase Daniel at number two. And I think Matt McGloin is probably about as polished to number three as you're going to find. I mean, you've got a guy that has started games in the NFL, had a modicum of success, won some games out in Oakland. So, I mean, when you're talking about him as your number three quarterback, I think you're in good shape. I think Nick Foles is a guy that knows what he's getting into here in Philadelphia behind Wentz, is comfortable being the backup, but is a guy that, you know, I think in a short term could step in, and I don't want to say you wouldn't miss a beat, but would be more than just a guy holding the flavor of the month stick trying to get you through. I think Nick Foles is a guy that, if necessary, once in a while could go and win you a game. So I think 1-3, you're in good shape, and it's especially promising when the number one is in his second year and descending.
How do you feel about how the Eagles, now we've gone through the combine, we've gone through free agency, we've gone through the draft, how did the Eagles front office handle the offseason?
I think they took their best shot at addressing needs. Obviously, we got to wait to see how it plays out. But, you know, you went into the offseason, and one of the first things you said was they have no pass catchers that are game changers. You took care of that, getting Alshon Jeffrey as a free agent, getting Torrey Smith. And then they addressed it in the draft with a couple of mid-round picks. So you have added talent and depth to the receiving core. I think number two thing you said, they desperately need cornerbacks, and that really was a focus in the draft, short-term and long-term. They kind of took the kid that will, in my opinion, determine whether the 2017 draft is successful or not, in Sidney Jones in the second round, yep. who is coming back from the Achilles, a cornerback who was going to be a top 15 pick, it seems, across the board. Everyone agreed until he hurt himself. I don't know if it was a pro day or during a workout or what, but if he can come back, and not even this year, but in the big picture, if he can come back 100% and be the player he was in college, then you look at it, the Eagles would have gotten probably two top 15 picks out of the top of the 2017 draft. Then the other cornerback, Rasul Douglas, a kid from West Virginia, who I think will probably start going into this season, you know, is a ball hawk, has made plays, might not have the experience. I think West Virginia didn't do a whole heck of a lot in their defense, so it'll be interesting to see how he translates to the NFL game. When I say a whole heck, I mean scheme-wise. They were pretty, you know, they can only do so much there. But if he can step up and play, obviously Derek Barnett, the kid from Tennessee they took in the first round, helps at pass rusher, defensive end, and all of a sudden now you look with him, with Cox, with Brandon Graham on paper, you've got a pretty good front line there, especially in addition to Timmy Jernigan's, a kid they acquired in the trade where they swapped third-round picks with the Ravens. So I think you kind of have to look at it as like an addendum to the 2017 draft class. You know, on paper, the thing you have to appreciate, they obviously knew where their weaknesses were. They did their best to address them. How will it play out? None of us know, but I've seen plenty of teams in this town kind of act like certain weaknesses weren't weaknesses, and then everyone's surprised when it's not any good. Right. So I think they at least went out, checked the boxes, and now you see how it develops.
All right, which brings me now to the Phillies in baseball. Patience is a very difficult thing in sports, and I'm not talking about the fans. I think sometimes patience in the front office is difficult. It seems to this point that the Phillies front office has remained patient. At least that's from this viewpoint. Do you think they have?
Oh, I think they have, and I think they will. I think they are in this for the long term. I think they will continue to use this year as kind of a 162-game audition for a lot of positions. Find out. I think the main goal for this year is, yes, you want to be better win-loss-wise, but I think they want to have an ironclad idea of where they are not good enough in the system, where they don't have major league players ready to go, and that's where they're going to spend oodles of money, I think, in the offseason and in next offseason. And you will start to see some big-time names come here to Philadelphia. But I think that's not a knee-jerk. I think that's always been part of the plan. When you look at how these free agent classes on paper are playing out here in 18 and 19 and where the organization is as far as farm system development, you're not going to see them deviate from anything here. I mean, I guess there's always the chance if they really put something together and are really in at the end of July that they might buy a little earlier than people thought. But I think people understand what this year is. It's kind of a day-to-day, you know, you want to see certain guys get better. You want to know, is Michael Franco a middle-of-the-order guy, or is he just the guy? Is Aaron Altair a five-tool potential star, or is he a fourth outfielder on a good team? You know, there's a lot of decisions to be made, and not just over 10 games, not just over 50 at-bats, but over 550 at-bats, so that you can really have confidence of what you've got going forward.
The Red Sox are an interesting dynamic. I want to ask this question off of this. Last year they had David Ortiz in the middle of that lineup, veteran presence that can play. This year that presence is not there. And they've got a young team. Betts, Bradley, Vasquez, Bogarts. You know, they have a young team. Obviously they are not playing to the level that they played at last year when they had the veteran presence. Is this something that at some point the Phillies do have to consider, that maybe they need at least a veteran presence somewhere to take some heat off the younger players?
I think they've got some veterans that are sprinkled in. When you look at the rotation, Jeremy Hellickson at the top, you're not talking about a Roy Halladay or a Cliff Lee, but a guy who's been around the league, has made a lot of starts. And in the bullpen, which has been the big problem so far, you know, the one of the guys that you really wanted to lean on was Joaquin Benoit, who I'm pretty sure has played with all 32 Major League Baseball teams in his career.
But Matt, the Red Sox have Porcello, the reigning Cy Young Award winner. They got Chris Sale. They've got Craig Kimbrell. That part's fine. They've got that part. I'm talking about the everyday order where a guy that can take the pressure off the other guys, where it's not, you know, like it's not life and death on every at bat for them.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's coming. I think that's where the money is going to be spent, is, you know, going forward, is probably an outfielder, you know. And I, like I said, I think there is a lot of – Mikel Franco has had moments, but the inconsistency has been maddening. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's crazy to think that maybe he moves to first if you're going to throw a ton of money at a Manny Machado, like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that is very much a possibility. I think you've got your middle infield is playing very well right now, but there's always been the argument that Cesar Hernandez and Freddy Galvis are playing for one job. Now, the thought process was always the other guy would be J.P. Crawford.
Right.
Maybe in the short term, that's not going to be the case, as Crawford has struggled at Triple A, and you know, he might not be as much of a quick comer as people thought. But I think you will see a big time veteran or two in this lineup. I mean, I will be stunned if the 2018 offseason isn't a ton of fun for Phillies fans.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to be, if they're going to be active, they're going to be waving the checkbook. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to come here to Philadelphia because they remember what being a baseball, well, you know, what the fans were like here from 2007 to 2011, and they're going to see a lot of young talent and the chance to kind of do that again.
You know, pitching-wise, I think they're on a great track. I have no problem with that. I just think they need a veteran that suddenly Franco is hitting third and not hitting fourth. Oh, and guess what? Because of the guy behind him, he's seeing better pitches, which then takes some pressure off him, takes pressure off the top of the lineup, takes pressure off the fifth guy. I mean, there's a lot of things that spot does. See, Ortiz did all of that last year. Now they're all out there in their own. They're going, all right, now how do we do this?
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of fans that are convinced that Bryce Harper is going to be a Philly at one eventually when he becomes a free agent.
He's not going to be a free agent until after 18, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of fans that think. But I think they will throw a ton of money at a marquee everyday player in the next 2 years, you know, and it will be the type of signing that you would hope that when you've got a young core and you add a marquee guy like that, it really helps accelerate everything.
Good point. Hey, as always, great points as always. Matt, thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. We'll come back with more in a moment. Don't forget the after show, a complete rundown from the suit on what to expect at Indy.
Sweet.
It's on the after show.
Love it.
What time do you get out of the building?
Close to 6, give or take.
This will start at 6:10.
Sweet.
All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. ESPN, of course, after the avalanche of layoffs, now at least is announcing the people they've locked up to new contracts and what their new Sports Center lineup is going to look like. And there are certain standards that are going to remain the same. But I think the biggest one out of all this happens to be the fact that John Buchegras, whose contract allegedly was running out July 1, is evidently locked into a new contract extension. as he is going to be a part of the 11 o'clock rotation for SportsCenter. So this is who they locked up. And this is their SportsCenter lineup for those who still watch SportsCenter. And ESPN seriously hopes that both of you continue to do that. Here we go. SportsCenter AM will air 7 days a week. It'll be hosted by a combination of Sage Steele, who will move to Bristol, Kevin DeGondi, Jay Harris, Randy Scott, Al Duncan, Matt Berry. Next up is the SC6 with Michael Smith, Jamel Hill. We already knew that. I told you that they were given 3 years to make this work. So they're not going to take that away after 4 months. The 11 p.m. Sports Center is going to be hosted by Steve Levy, Kenny Mayne, John Anderson, and John Buchagross. And so you're talking about four of the longest tenured, most recognizable people at the network. And for Kenny Mayne, that means he goes back to Bristol. Scott Van Pelt continues to get the show at midnight. Stan Verrett and Neil Everett keep the L.A.-based Sports Center at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. on the West Coast. Hannah Storm will move from the 10 a.m. Sports Center to a role of hosting primetime specials and working on, quote, high-impact journalistic pieces for E60M for Sports Center. Serena Morales will serve as the fan correspondent for all editions of SportsCenter, finding fun and unusual ways that fans express their love for sports. And that ought to work.
Yeah, when SportsCenter debuted that new SportsCenter AM, the 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. block, was it close to a year or so ago? She was kind of like the fourth person on the show. And she would kind of check out trends online, on social media, that kind of deal.
All right. Maria Taylor is going to replace Sam Ponder on College Game Day, moving from the SEC network.
Yeah, I think she was the number one during college basketball season. She was the court reporter when Dan Shulman and Jay Billis was doing play-by-play.
Yep.
Did a good job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. They're going to go with recognizable acres all the way through, it looks like. They say that they want SportsCenter to move forward with these people. Scott Van Pelt, his show is on SportsCenter, is completely different, and it's his own way, his own style. And so far, so good. It's people seem to like it. SC6. The ratings apparently are fine. We know that the ad numbers are really good, but the show gets beaten up pretty good on Twitter and on Facebook. I've never seen the show. I cannot judge it. Never, not one time have seen it. I've seen the commercials for it, but I've never seen the show. So that's what they're doing.
I almost stopped on it last week. Michael and Jamel had on, I believe, Bob Lee. I can't remember if they had on Jeremy Schapp or not, but they were starting to promote heavily the E60, which is now has a more prominent figure on Sunday mornings taking place in the sports reporters that wrapped up a week ago. So I think they just filled it up to do some cross-promoting.
They also know that, look, as a network, what areas got cut? Okay. Baseball got cut, NHL got cut, and while they still retain the Tim Kirchens of the world and Adam Schefter of the world, they cut so many people with journalistic jobs. So we're going to tell everybody, but that's okay. We got E60 and we got Outside the Lines. The bottom line is they cut a lot of people with really rock-solid journalistic jobs. Andy Katz, Jason Stark, Dana O'Neill, Ed Werder. It's some people with some legit chops in that group there. So we're going to, but don't worry, we still have E60 and we still have Outside the Lines. Okay. All right, Dave Jones of the Patriot News and PennLive.com did an interesting piece on his top 20 announced teams of all time. So we'll run it down, have some fun with that. I thought it was another really good article by Dave. And we'll give you what his top 20 happens to be. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
The phones are ringing off the hook at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, Hyundai because right now we're offering the best savings in Hyundai's 30-year history, like up to $6,750 in total savings on a 2017 Sonata. It's called the Better Than Ever Sales Event, and it features the biggest total savings ever offered on Sonata, Elantra, Tucson, and Santa Fe Sport. So there's never been a better time to buy than the Better Than Ever Sales Event. Every Hyundai is also backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. America's best warranty. So visit Sunbury Motors Hyundai, Hyundai now before the biggest savings in Hyundai's Hyundai history are, well, history. Better is the reason to buy a Hyundai, Hyundai, and the Better Than Ever sales event is the reason to buy now. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is Hyundai your home for, well, better. Better prices, better vehicles, and a better buying experience. Sunbury Motors Hyundai, Hyundai in North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and online at sunburyhyundai.com.
Hyundai!
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. How do you keep a business going for decades? You put the customer number one. You find them the right insurance for what they need, and you make sure that you find the best price. If something happens, you jump right in because you want to help, you need to help. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, sports bozo of the day. Lane Kiffin offered a 13-year-old a scholarship today. Really?
Quarterback?
I had no idea, nor do I care. He's 13.
No, I was just curious.
No idea.
I don't care either. I was just curious.
Kid could grow to be 6'10 and get an offer from LSU. I don't know.
Yeah. I could have been snarky and said, kicker?
Lane Kiffin. Ay, ay, ay.
Wouldn't it be funny if the 13-year-old was from Tennessee?
Nah, I think he's from Florida. Florida Atlantic will get its one nationally televised game this year. Enjoy it. All right. Unbelievable. All right. Dave Jones, Patriot News, put out what he says are his top 20 announced teams of all time. Now, something he prefaces right away is that they all have to be national. Okay, so they all have to be national, no local broadcast teams. All right? They can either be live play-by-play analyst teams at the event or anchor teams back at the studio, but they must be national, not local. And Dave says, here are my 20 sports broadcasting teams ranked front to back. Now, he does make a special mention at the anchor desk about Bob Costas, Jim McKay, and Vince Scully. So he does do that. He does make a special mention about Howard Cosell. Some that did not make the cut. Dick Enberg, Merlin Olsen. He said they were a little too syrupy for his taste. Tim Ryan, Ferdy Pacheco. Called great fights in the 80s and the glory days. And he also had some great things to say about Ray Scott. Mary Carrillo and John McEnroe, he writes, quote, have been terrific tennis analysts for decades, but now I have but have never had the good fortune to be teamed with a great play-by-play partner. All right, Jim Nance, Billy Packer. He says that they're too stiff. Dick Emberg, Packer, Al McGuire on NBC College Hoops. He says maybe if they told Billy Packer to go get some burgers for an hour down the road, it would be better. Brent, Irv, Phyllis, and Jimmy the Greek. They were trailblazers for the pregame show. He said then Joe Buck, Troy Aikman are terrific, except that it includes that he is not a Joe Buck fan. And then he says Chris Schenkel and Bo Burton on bowling. And he said they single-handedly raised a niche sport into the big time for a short while. Just outside the cut line for him, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. He praised Dave Jones, praised them for the job they did on the Rose Bowl. And he says his problem with them is that they're too much alike. So here is his number 20 group. 20 is Marv Albert and Steve Kerr when they were at NBC. He said, talks about the great job, the great work that obviously Albert does over the years, but has a lot of praise for Steve Kerr. And by the way, I agree with him. I think Steve Kerr, when he was doing TV, I don't care whether it was the NBA or the NCAA tournament, I thought he was an absolutely outstanding analyst. And, of course, Marv Albert's a great play-by-play guy. Always has been, always will be. All right. Number 19, he says, Dizzy Dean, Pee Wee Reese. It's really hard for me to comment on that. I've only read about them. I never heard them. He goes, number 18, Keith Jackson, Frank Broyles. He was not big on Jackson, but he was big on Broyles. See, I was the other way around. I was really big on Keith Jackson and was never big on Broyles, but that's, you know, that's just a personal taste thing. Kirk Gowdy and Tony Kubek. Dave Jones writes, these guys were Major League Baseball soundtrack from the late 60s through the mid-70s. And he's absolutely right. They certainly were. And talked about how they're consummate pros. Pat Summerall, Tom Brookshire, John Madden. Talks about how Summerall gave you the nuts and bolts. Brookshire and Madden took it to another level, especially Madden. Kirk Gowdy, Al DeRogatis at 15. Tell you, my father-in-law loved Paul Chrisman with Kirk Gowdy before Al DeRogatis. Number 14, Dan Kelly and Bill Mazur on CBS doing hockey. Dan Kelly and Doc Emmerich are the two best national hockey broadcasters I've ever heard. Dan Kelly, of course, has passed away. I work with Dan's son on BTN a few times. But Doc Emmerich and Dan Kelly are the two best I ever heard on a national broadcast of hockey. Jim Lampley, Larry Merchant, HBO, with either Ray Leonard, George Foreman, or Roy Jones Jr. doing boxing. He's got them 13. He's got John Miller and Joe Morgan of ESPN at 12. Number 11, Doc Emmerich and Bill Clement on NBC and ESPN.
Yeah, it's been a while since Bill's been on the national scene. He's been doing a lot in Philly on CSN for the last close to a decade.
I think Bill Clement's outstanding.
Yes. Same with Al Morganti, too.
Yeah, Al Morganti's outstanding. Well, it's like Dave Jones says here, that Disney got rid of them partly because Morgan was too curmudgeon-y about sabermetrics and its enthusiasts mocked him as a dinosaur, not trendy. They can't have that at ESPN. Interesting comment. Al Michaels and Jim Palmer doing baseball on ABC came in at number 10. Number 9, Dave put Sean McDonough, Mike Gorman, Bill Raftery, CBS, ESPN. Raftery, you know what's neat about Raftery? He's the same off the air as he is on the air. Same thing with Vern Lundquist. Same off the air as he is on. No difference. He's got number 8, Gus Johnson, Dan Bonner, CBS. Let's see. Vern Lundquist, Gary Danielson at number 7. He's got Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth of NBC at number 6. Doing college football. Or doing the NFL, Sunday Night Football, sorry. Skip Carey, Ernie Johnson Sr., Pete Van Wieren, and John Sterling on TBS. On the Superstation. Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann on ESPN. Number 3, Frank Gifford, Howard Cosell, Don Meredith, Monday Night Football. Number 2, Jack Buck and Hank Stram on CBS Radio. And finally, at number 1, Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Shaq on TNT.
That's kind of a surprise.
Well, let's see what does Dave say here about it.
But the four do gel together, and they've been
and they've been
together on the same set for many seasons. That definitely helps.
Yeah.
Shaq is just entertaining and gives a lot of content. Chuck is Chuck. He's kind of in his own category.
But Dave makes a really good point here. It's clear that they really like each other's company, but they also can argue without it getting personal. Right? And they each offer something unique to the whole. He said they are the Seinfeld cast of Studio Cruise. And, of course, the articles received a lot of comments. A lot of people make a lot of comments about announcers. Jack Buck and Hank Stram were a great Monday Night Football radio team. First of all, Buck was a great radio play-by-play guy. Jack Buck. And Hank Stram was constantly alerting fans who were listening as to what they might go to next on the field. I heard them for, I think the only one in this group I never heard Dizzy Dean Pee-wee Reese. He had them at 19. I don't think I heard a single thing that they did. Yeah, I read enough about them, but I never heard any of them. And by the way, I was mentioning Dan Kelly, Doc Emmerich earlier. Dan Kelly died in his 50s. You know that? He's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, hopefully Doc's okay. He was a little under the weather and was not part of the NBC telecast on Saturday night for Game 1 between the Pens and Sens. So hopefully he'll be back in the booth tonight with Eddie.
Yeah, John Forslund stepped in. John's a very good play-by-play guy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very good play-by-play guy.
Well, he already knew. Well, that's the go-to since he was the play-by-play guy covering the Rangers-Ottawa series.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So it made it easier, but he was there. Yeah. So, it's going to be the kind of article that Dave writes, and it's really well written. I mean, let's give Dave credit where credit's due. It's really well written and well thought out, but it's also going to be something that people are going to, argue yay, nay, but it's really, really good. Really good. I mean, it's one of those fun things, just, complete personal taste and opinion. And the PennLive.com and the Patriot News. All right. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
One thing about announcers, you find that nothing's rather neutral about them. They either love them or they don't want to hear them. As simple as that. So, but that's
it's
where
funny
we
you
are.
Just said that. I would think maybe in terms of announcers up in Canada, maybe Don Cherry would fall into that category, or people just like to tune in to see what kind of blazer he wears.
Yeah, he's under the, you either love him or you're like, oh, God. Look at the size of that collar.
I want to say it was either two seasons ago or three. During the Stanley Cup Finals, he joined Steve Levy and Barry Melrose on the late night sports centers to recap the Stanley Cup Final. And I'll be honest with you, I just tuned in just to hear what he had to say, just for the fact he's not on American TV all that much.
No, yeah, he's only on the Canadian TV when it comes
Hockey
to
Night in America, I guess.
Hockey Night in America. Let's see. Now tonight you've got Ottawa and the Penguins. It should be Doc, Eddie Olczyk, and Pierre McGuire on the call. They've got to be able to beat the center ice trap for Ottawa. I mean, they really appear to be completely thrown off in playing that. That's also something that down the road, not as many teams are as effective with it. I mean, this is something that the Devils used to win three Stanley Cups because they were so good at it. You just can't start anything. They take the center and they slide the center toward the area, right around the center ice line, somewhere around there to go with the winger. So now they've started the trap there with the defenseman coming up from the blue line. And the second the guy is really trapped by the center and the forward, then the defenseman backs off. Right, you've got to be able to do that and work your way around it and work through it so that you can make plays happen. And the Penguins didn't adjust well. The other part, too, is the Penguins were not effective on the power play because I felt that Ottawa was very aggressive on its penalty kill.
Yeah, Pens were 0 for 5. And I think there was one of the lines with Gino and Phil Kessel. They just seemed like they just weren't getting it going. So some were thinking, maybe coach will break that line up and maybe move. He was making shift changes, line changes on the fly during the Caps series. I don't know if he'll do that much in this series or not.
Well, I think you're trying to find the right combination based on who you're playing at the time. And when you're going through game one, you might make a subtle change here or there. Because, look, it's been a while since they played Ottawa. And Ottawa's playing really well right now. And because they're playing really well right now, especially with the trap, it's just they try to do everything they can to make it difficult for you to enter into the zone and make a play. They want you to make hero plays. Well, hero plays don't work in sports. Hero plays do not work in basketball. They don't work in hockey where you try to do everything yourself. You got to be able to work it within a team concept. And there was a certain point in that game where the Penguins, from about the middle of the first period to the middle of the third period, literally half the game, actually two-thirds of the game, were trying to make one hero play after another. You're not going to win making hero plays. Yeah, you're going to do it by what got you there. You've got to get them moving out of sync. And then the Penguins then reverted them the other way. Once they went through hero plays, then they started overpassing the puck. Right? I'm sure they said, you know, okay, we got to move it around more. There had a couple of guys wide open late in the third period where they made not the extra pass, but the one too many pass. Like, what are you doing? He's right to shoot it. Okay? They did everything else for you. Shoot the puck. It is not a must-win for the Penguins tonight, but it is a strongly recommended one. They cannot go to Canada down 2-0, especially Ottawa's played so well at home this year.
I think what's frustrated me with this series, just noticing, and it's not complete defenseman play for the entire 60 minutes. There's just so many times where they're just having difficulty getting the puck out from behind where Fleury is, and they just put themselves behind the eight ball so quickly and adding more pressure to Fleury. What else can Fleury do?
Now, Fleury's played great, but sure. See, that's what Ottawa's been doing. Ottawa's been pressing the entire time. This is like facing a pressing team in basketball. Now, a team that plays a 1-2-2 three-quarter court trap, well, that's what they essentially what Ottawa does. Okay? We're not going to let you have the free exit from behind your net. Celtics and Wizards play Game 7 tonight as well at the TD Garden. The winner gets the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers series, I think, ended about a month ago. I think they just returned from the Bahamas. What? You don't have a Little League game to go to tonight, do you?
Not till Wednesday. I'm good.
Because, I mean, it's only your nephew. I don't get the blood pressure problem. I can send you some medication.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.